Hello and welcome to Talking Dogs for a very special 12th episode. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich, and joining us in the studio today is the head coach of the Concordia women's basketball team, Drew Olson. Coach, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so this past year was Coach Olson's 18th year with the program, in which the Bulldogs finished 27-7 overall and made it to the round of 8 in the national tournament. A lot of successful years. This is the 13th straight year that the women's team has had a winning record. So, Coach Olson, what has been the story of your coaching career, and what has kept you here so long?
The story is a long story because it's 18 years. But what's kept me is just the Christian atmosphere, the people. I love what I do. I love being able to coach an incredible team of women that work really hard, but they're committed, they're selfless, and they're just fun to be around. And being able to express my faith with them and help them grow in theirs is a really big deal. And so that's what's kept me.
Yeah. And talking about your faith, are there any specific ways that your faith has shaped your coaching style?
Honestly, I would say yeah. Just understanding why you play and. When the game is over, like I'm ultra competitive. I hate losing, but it's helped me understand like that doesn't define me. If we have a great season, if we have a bad season, if we win a game, if we lose a game, I'm still a child of God, and nothing's gonna take that from me. So that's probably been the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Just one more kind of like personal one before we jump into the nitty gritty of the season. Anyone who goes to a Bulldog game, they know how much your family means to you. I mean, they see the kids running all over the court. How much does it mean, one, for the team to have the kids around and just show them that that's kind of the environment? And, you know, how does that build chemistry off the court?
I just love having my family around. They're a huge part of who I am, and I just love them so much. But I also love having my basketball family be able to be around them and be an influence. There's a great story with at the end of the year, Mackenzie Toomey had the concussion and was out for a while, and in my backyard is a basketball hoop, and one of my sons, Jacoby, is shooting, and he's doing this layup that was something I had never seen him do before. He's kind of like spinning it, and I just said, "Man, Jacoby, that's awesome. Where'd you learn that?" And he goes, "Well, Toomey does that."
There you go.
And just it's so cool to have that kind of an influence on my kids. And it's more than just the basketball. It's just seeing them as people and how warm and welcoming they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's obvious that your kids and your family are a big morale booster for your team. Mm-hmm. Are there any other ways that your team builds chemistry off the court?
Oh, yeah. We have all kinds of different team bonding activities, especially in the preseason. But I think probably the biggest thing throughout the year is we call them APs or accountability partners, where they get partnered up with somebody on the team, and we give them different activities for them to you know, do stuff with each other, and really it's just so that they can grow deeper relationships with that person. Because if you just show up at practice every day, you're going to have like your big, you know, your friendship group, but you're not going to truly know everybody else on the team. And so it's a great way for them to really understand everybody and grow deeper with everybody.
Yeah, and with those accountability partners, do mm-hmm. they switch off during the season?
Yeah, so every week we give them a different partner.
Okay.
And different activities, and just keep kind of switching throughout the whole year.
So eventually you'll get through most of the team and
exactly.
have some time with everyone.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But getting into the basketball side of things, so obviously, you know, every coach is going to say this, every class is special, right? Mm-hmm. But this senior class, it felt like there was a lot of history behind it. So you had Sadie getting to 1,000, mm-hmm. Tayshia, I think she's third all-time scoring. We had your win record that was mm-hmm. set this year. So maybe 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, when you're thinking back on this class, what will be the one thought to kind of summarize?
The senior class or this season?
Go both.
With this senior class, they're just really, really special to me because of all that they've gone through. You don't know the highs unless you have the lows.
Yeah.
And we had some incredible lows because of just some circumstances that were thrown at us with COVID that freshman year for them. And then we had a really rough sophomore year in terms of chemistry and the buy-in. And it was that junior year and this year were just so fun. And the highs were incredible because of what we had experienced together. And then, like, talking about this season being so special just because of all the different different wins that we had, there's some really memorable ones.
Yep.
I felt like this team was defined by their fight. There's so many games where, especially at halftime, but other moments in the game where you're just like, holy cow, you know, like, how are we going to get out of this, and how are we going to find a way to win? And this group just found ways to win. I'm thinking about the Concordia Ann Arbor game. It's incredible.
Yep.
You know, Briarcliff, you know, the Benedictine game in the national tournament. Just so many, and there's so many others where we were down and fought back to find ways to win.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of a trend. So kind of correct me if I'm wrong, but in a lot of games it seemed that y'all would start off slow, but then fight more as the game went on, and then you really got people on the edge of your seats come the fourth quarter. So a lot of the times that led to cool comebacks and cool wins. A lot of the times, not so much, like especially in like some of the tough contests against Dort.
Mm-hmm.
So how next year, looking forward, how do you kind of flip that script and kind of stay on top of opponents throughout the contest?
I think every season's totally different and unique, and,
yep.
and we know next year's team is going to be very different. You know, thankfully, we've got some good returners coming back with Kendall coming back for her fifth year, Abby Heemstra, Abby Kreiser, Megan Belt, Kristen Wieselmeyer is kind of like our juniors and seniors, but we know every year is different, so I have no idea what it's going to be like, but I'm really, really excited about what they're going
to
be.
But with like Kendall, especially, you mentioned Toomey being out for a few games there, it was kind of nice to see her in the starting rotation, kind of, you know, see more of her, and she filled in really well, especially with this guard-heavy lineup that mm-hmm. was kind of being put forward.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited about this junior class? And a lot of it, especially when you maintain a winning culture for as many years, I think this is 13th winning season in a row, a lot of that is up to the leadership to maintain that culture. So what do you see in the junior class, that the soon-to-be senior class, that gets you excited about that leadership aspect?
Yeah, they're awesome people, and they understand our team's values and what it's all about. There's nobody more selfless than Kendall and Abby Heemstra. You got Kendall, who very well could have started on pretty much any team in the GPAC, and she was very willing to come off the bench and be kind of that spark plug. You've got Abby Heemstra, who started all of her sophomore season, and then junior year. This year we ended up starting Kristen Wieselmeyer just because the pieces fit together a little bit better in that way, because Kristen's a little bit more of a perimeter shooter. But Abby had no problem with it, and she filled a great role. She was still a dominant post player, and I call her probably one of the best backup post players in the country. She, both of those handle it so well. And then Abby Kreiser is just a workhorse. She competes and does so many different things for our team. So it is going to be a really special group.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2019 set the standard for Bulldog basketball. This year, the squad came in just short of that standard. Obviously, still had a great season, but came up just short. If you had all the returning players here right now, what would you tell them that they should take away from this past season?
Just, again, how special the group was, how much I love them, how fun the journey was to... not every journey is going to end like 2019.
Yeah.
But that's the goal, and you strive for it. But at the end of the, you know, you just appreciate the journey that you got to go on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it goes back to our faith that, like, you know, that doesn't define us. You know, we're children of God, and we're very blessed because of that.
Yeah.
So we're talking about returners. We talked about the juniors a little bit. Got to give some love to the freshmen. A lot of freshmen, five on varsity, made some big impacts. I think Sammy Lou, was that her first game when she came in and she hit like four in a row?
Yeah.
And had 12 points immediately? So it's kind of exciting because we got these players who are leaving who made a great impact on the program, but a lot of talent, young talent that, you know, could keep people in the seats for years to come. How do you mold that talent to, you know, into winning seasons?
Yeah, it's a really exciting challenge because I'm an NBA fan, so I was kind of talking to my wife about this yesterday, comparing our team to the NBA, how, like, you still have LeBron and Steph Curry, but you've got this up-and-coming group of Anthony Edwards and
yep.
SGA and all these guys, and, like, can they win in the playoffs or not this year? We'll see. And that's kind of like what our team is. We still have some returners of Kendall and Abby and AK, but we've got this really exciting kind of new group coming in with Ray, with Sammy, with JJ. Like, JJ is going to be really, really good, and I think people are going to be really impressed with her next year. You know, we got to see glimpses of it this year, but she's going to be really special. I think Bree Bunting has some greatness in her, and Jocelyn just plays so, so hard. And it's a really fun group that's going to do great things. It's going to be interesting to see, are they ready for it next year? And that's what the summer is about, to really improve their game, get them mentally and physically prepared for what they have to accomplish next year.
Yeah, and looking forward to next year, I got two questions. So what does the off season look like right now? Mm-hmm. And then how do you balance your recruiting and then also maintaining the team you have here in Seward?
Yeah, so like right now we're in what's kind of like a postseason phase where we're not really able to coach. It's really player led. We have kind of an open gym Mondays and Wednesdays, and then we're back to lifting pretty intensely Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then once the school year's done, we give them a lot of time off in May. Just we're refinishing the gym floors and stuff. But come June, we'll be going at it pretty hard with open gyms, with individual workouts. And if players need to go home for the summer, that's fine. They can do their workouts there. But we do have all kinds of different opportunities for them to get better here. And then we've got our camps at the end of June that are really big too. So, yeah.
So around college sports right now, and obviously it could be different based on, you know, basketball versus football and the different levels of college sports. But I remember like watching the Pat McAfee show one time, and they had Matt Rhule on, and he said that it's kind of changed a lot with how many transfer opportunities there are for kids nowadays, that he's kind of got to recruit high school kids, he's trying to recruit other college kids, and then he's got to recruit his own team to make sure that they stay there. Do you think that in, you know, this in the era of the transfer, has that been much of an issue for you, or do you think the bond of Concordia has done most of the heavy lifting?
Yeah, thankfully I don't think we deal with those kind of issues. It's really nice. We don't have to deal with the craziness of NIL and the transfer portal and stuff like that. We have a group that wants to be here at Concordia, that's committed to our program. In terms of recruiting, like, this is kind of the hard period, because we're pretty much done with our incoming class for next year, but we would take one or two more if you know they're the right fits for us. But we're really going hard at the junior class, like juniors in high school right now, trying to bring in as many as possible to play with our team and get to know us a little bit more. So you think when the season's done, oh, you're going to have time off? Well, no, we work really, really hard right now. May is maybe a little bit more of a downtime for us, but right now it's definitely intense.
And then kind of in that same vein of recruiting, one of the benefits, I think, of being at Concordia maybe versus one of the larger schools is you get that JV squad. Mm-hmm. And in the JV squad, you know, it's really good just to get them on the court, get minutes under their belt, just see what they can do, give them film. Like, how did you see the JV season? How was that this year?
It was a great year. And for the JV, it's a challenge because you're going to play some other, like, GPAC schools, but then you're going to go kind of up a level and play some junior colleges that are really, really good. And so I think it's a great thing for them. They get challenged, they get pushed. But you're right, they actually get the game experience as opposed to just sitting at the end of the bench. And I thought it was a really good year for them, and we're excited about a few of them continuing to make steps forward to get to that varsity level.
Yeah, so going back to the varsity side, a lot of the times, in many of the games we saw very guard-heavy lineups. Was this just a necessity for you this year? Was it a tactical thing? Because obviously, the shooting from this team was incredible, but in certain games, you're getting out-rebounded a lot. So was that guard-heavy lineup, like I said, necessity or a tactical thing?
More tactical. Okay. I mean, our style of play is we want to pressure and play super fast and shoot a lot of threes. And I'm a math guy. Threes are worth more than twos.
Yeah.
As long as we're shooting at an efficient percentage. So to me, like, that was what was going to be our strengths for our team. When I look at the rebounding margin, you also have to figure in the turnover margin with that. Mm-hmm. If we're forcing turnovers, then the opponent doesn't have an opportunity to shoot for us to get the rebound. Mm-hmm. And so there's definitely going to be times where we lose the rebounding margin, but if you add the turnover margin with it and we're positive, then it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And thinking about our like when you talked about the 2019 team, like, we had Philly Lammers, probably one of the best rebounders of all time. that team often got out rebounded in games, mainly because we were turning our opponents over so much. And so that, to me, like, that rebounding margin can be deceptive. Yes, we probably do need to rebound better, but I do think that part of it is because of the turnover margin that we were creating.
So if you're shooting more, the other team's bound to get more rebounds.
Exactly.
And you're easier to get a defensive rebound than an offensive.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
But, okay, so now with this year in the rearview mirror, I think y'all finished top 10, close to top 10 NAIA in points per game. Would you say that your offensive philosophy, did they accomplish that goal this season?
Yeah, I thought we were a really, really good offensive team. And honestly, like, we were that close. And I'm not sure the finishing in the round of 16 is really indicative of like, how great this team really was. We had seven losses there to teams in the Sweet 16. Four of those seven losses were the two teams that ended up in the championship game. And we know, like, if we play Providence, you know, 10 times, I still think that we probably beat them six or seven times.
Yep.
They're a great team, but I felt like it was just that one day that they got us. And I think that we were, like, that close to being in that national championship game.
Yeah, and it was kind of unfortunate throughout the regular season, although – because Dort, they were on their best, they were on their A game this entire year. But even though there were losses throughout the regular season, when watching those games, I thought that those were some of the best basketball that Concordia played, was playing against their best opponents.
Absolutely. Those three games that we had against them were, like you said, incredible basketball. I think about the game that the first game we played with them here, the pace was just amazing. It even kind of caught me back, like, wow, look how fast both of these teams are playing.
Yeah.
It was just really high level basketball, and you know, I'm not sure what the margins were. I think it was like 3-1 and 7 or something like that we lost to them by.
Mm-hmm.
So like we know we were right there, and we feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. Well, when you're done here at Concordia, which hopefully not for a long time, hopefully you got a few more years in you. What do you hope that your legacy here at this school is going to be?
I love that word, because one of my favorite songs is, I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me, only Jesus.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I really hope our players know that like, it's more about who they are in Christ, and when they're done with their 4 years, that's what they're assured of, and they know. And you know, the wins and losses are great, but to me, that's way more important.
And, you know, kind of last question here. The podcast is on Spotify now, so hopefully it gets a wide reach. But who knows? You may be talking to a future Concordia basketball player. So I think one of the draws of this school, especially as you talked about, is the Christian aspect of it. I know it was a big aspect of the team with the devotions and how all that played into it. So if you're talking to a recruit right now on the Christian side of things, on the Concordia side of things, what's your number one selling point? What's your tagline?
Oh, just how amazing Concordia is. The Holy Spirit is alive and thriving here. I think it's not just us and our basketball team. Like, everybody that you're going to come into contact with wants you to grow in your faith, is there for you, cares for you, is going to share the love of Jesus with you. And it's the professors, it's, again, not just our team, it's the other coaches that are going to love on other athletes. It's your people five doors down in the dorm. Like, there's so many people here on Concordia's campus that will care for you and love for you, and I just think that's amazing.
Well, that seems like a nice note to end on. You got anything to top that?
Not at all.
Well, that, like we said, we like to keep them short and sweet here. So, Coach Olson, thank you for being here. And that'll be all for our 12th ever episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for a weekly podcast on the CUNY Silver website and on Spotify. In the meantime, from Cohen Carpenter, Kai Ulbrich, and Head Coach Drew Olson, and everyone at the Silver Newspaper, have a great day, and go Dogs!